This is the spot, gentlemen. Straker's colt was on the tree up there. The lads who found it thought he might have blown there, but in fact, it had been quite deliberately hung on a low branch.
A point of some importance, I fancy. Watson, note this location. Significant, is it not?
Well, it's only a short walk away from the stables.
Yes, it is, but can you see the stable buildings from here?
Well, no, we're in a hollow.
Well, exactly. And we're standing precisely where the body was found, Inspector.
Yes, sir. I had that matting placed there to preserve any markings.
Ah, excellent.
I brought along one of the boots which Straker wore, one of Fitzroy Simpson's shoes, and a cast horseshoe of silver blaze.
My dear Inspector, you surpass yourself.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Holmes.
Pray, let me see. Yeah. Yes, it's good. Good. Now, stand back, if you please. Excuse me, gentlemen.
Look at that. It's as if nothing in the world exists for him but that one patch of ground. I believe I could let off a pistol and he wouldn't notice it.
He's transformed when he's in a situation like this. Look at his eyes.
I tell you, Doctor, I've been an admirer of his methods for some time, but actually to see him at work, it's an education.
Well, your own approach to the job strikes me as admirably clear and logical, Inspector.
Well, thank you, Doctor. That's very gratifying. And I have to say, I can't help thinking that the facts in this case seem to speak for themselves.
Your net certainly seems to be tightly drawn around Fitzroy Simpson.
What have you got, Mr. Holmes?
Look.
A candle stub.
I say we have more time. We can also find the vesta used to light it.
I've been all over this site. I can't think how I managed to overlook anything.
Yeah, it was invisible, buried in the mud. I only found it because I was looking for it.
You expected to find it?
Yes, I thought it not unlikely.
Mr. Holmes, is something wrong?
Forgive me, Inspector. No, nothing at all. It's true that despite your precautions, there's little to read here.
I was afraid of that.
It's not important. There may be tracks elsewhere.
Well, the higher ground's too hard and dry. I've examined very carefully for 100 yards in each direction.
Well, then I wouldn't have the impertinence to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I would like to take a little walk over the moors before it grows dark.
A walk?
Yes, I think so. What do you say, Watson?
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, splendid. Well, then we'll see you back at the stables, Inspector. Oh, and if you don't mind, I'll take the horseshoe with me. For luck. Your leg holding up, Watson?
Yes, never a twinge.
Thank you. What a magnificent view.
Let's stop here for a moment.
Yes, certainly. Look at the way that plain is tinged with gold. And the ruddy brown where the fern and the brambles catch the last rays of the sun.
And I don't want to hear a word from you about romantic rubbish. It is beautiful.
Oh, I wish I could paint. I do hope your present rose-coloured optimism isn't going to be too rudely shattered by the realities of married life.
Are you still on about that? I know it amuses you to see me as a sort of overgrown lovesick schoolboy, but don't you have more important matters to think about just at the moment?
You believe that Gregory's solution is correct?
Yes, I do. His case is very well argued. Simpson has a considerable financial interest in the disappearance of the favourite. He had clear access to the stable lad's meal through that window. He was armed with a heavy stick and his muffler was found in the dead man's hand. That business with the paper packet...
Yeah, a clever counsel would tear it all to rags. The muffler was lost on the moor. The stick is a perfectly common item. He leaned in the window to look at the animal no more and the packet was exactly what he claimed it to be, a £10 note.
Well then, what's your case?
I have none.
Then aren't you being a trifle hasty in dismissing Gregory?
Oh, I have the solution.
You know who the murderer is.
Yes, but I have no case because I have no proof. I have a number of loose threads, but nothing to bind them together. Yes, I've overlooked something. Something that's been staring me in the face.
Something you've seen?
Heard. Something of vital significance. Something spoken. Who have I talked to since we arrived?
Let me have a look. In order, it would have been Colonel Ross. No, Inspector Gregory first, then Ross, then the stable lad Ned, then Mrs. Straker. That's it.
Do you want me to go over the main points of the conversation?
Gregory, Ross. Fool!
I beg your pardon?
Fool, fool, fool!
Holmes!
Me, my dear fellow, me, not you. Oh. How could I possibly have overlooked so obvious a clue? You see what your precious fresh air does to my brain.
What clue, for goodness sake?
The immense significance of the curried mutton.
What?
Just one pull on that final thread and all the other strands are drawn into a knot. I have the facts and I have the proof. Only one question still remains to be answered.
And that is?
The location of the horse.
You don't know where the horse is? When you said you'd solved it, I thought you meant everything.
They were together in that hollow, in the dark. The murder was committed and Silver Blaze broke away.
Broke away? Why didn't the murderer stop him?
Yes, excellent question. Once you realise the motive behind the murder, the answer will present itself.
The motive is obvious.
Is it? Yes. What sort of creature is a horse? Huh? Up out of the hollow, scenting the air. Yes, yes. Most of the ground around here is hard and would have held no impressions, even in Monday's rain. But if I'm correct...
Next hollow.
What about it?
I'll show you. Come on.
On the night of the murder, this hollow must have been as soft and muddy as the one where the murder was committed.
So must every other hollow on Dartmoor. What's so significant about this one?
Look.
By God.
Horseshoe fits exactly.
For luck. How in the world did you know?
Well, you see the value of imagination. That is the one quality which Gregory lacks. I imagined what might have happened, acted on the supposition, and found myself justified. There. Huh? And there. Well, well.
You see these broken bushes? It looks as though he climbed out of the hollow up to that plain.
Back towards King's Pylon, stopped and turn. Yes, my dear fellow, exactly as I expected.
How can we follow the tracks once the horse reaches the hard ground?
We can't, but it's not important.
Not important? But he could have wandered off anyway.
No, I think not.
So where did he go? You're not going to tell me, are you?
How's the light? Just time, I think.
For what, pray?
For obtaining some expert advice.
What the devil do you want here?
Nothing that justifies such an ill-mannered reception. Are you Silas Brown, trainer to Lord Backwater?
What if I am? Be off with you, you pair of touts.
Now, just a moment.
All right, Watson. What I want is 10 minutes talk with you, my good sir.
I've no time to talk to every gadabout. Be off.
About last Monday night or early Tuesday morning, if you prefer.
You watch what you're saying. I'm no killer.
I don't believe I mentioned the murder.
I won't ask you again. What do you want?
Your help.
My help? Why should I help you?
Because if you do, I may well feel inclined to return the favour. And if you don't...
There's too many prying ears out here. This way.
Watson, wait here. Don't let anyone disturb us.
Are you coming or not? I'm a busy man.
I shan't need more than a few minutes.
You are doing what?
We are returning to London by the Midnight Express. We've had a charming little breath of your beautiful Dartmoor air, but now we must depart.
Mr. Holmes! Doctor!
Sorry, Inspector. You know as much as I do.
So, you are giving up. You despair of arresting the murderer of poor Straker.
There are certainly grave difficulties in the way.
And the horse? What about the race? Since you can offer me no hope, I urge the public to withdraw Silver Blaze's name from the entries.
Absolutely not. He must let the name stand.
Yes, well, I'm very glad to have your opinion, sir.
I have every hope that your horse will be there at the fall of the flag next Tuesday.
Have you indeed?
And I plan to be there to see him run. I suggest that you have your jockey in readiness. Inspector, a word with you outside.
Straight away, Mr. Holmes.
Oh, Colonel, I trust you've no objection to giving us a ride back into Tavistock. Thank you so much.
Well, Doctor, I must say I'm disappointed in our London consultant. I don't see that we're any further advanced than when he came.
At least you have his assurance that your horse will run.
Yes, I have his assurance. I should prefer to have the horse.
Easy, girl. Easy. There you go.
Do you have a photograph of Straker?
Yes, I do. Here.
My dear Gregory, you anticipate all my wants. Good evening, Ned.
Sir? Inspector? Mr. Holmes?
Yes, Ned.
Look, sir, I know it's not my place, and if the Colonel catches me talking...
I'm sure we can rely on the inspector here to keep a lookout.
Certainly, Mr. Holmes.
Well, thank you, sir. Well, it's Silver Blaze. The other lads are saying... Well, has that villain Simpson really done away with him? Because if he hasn't...
Ned, you need have no fears. Please believe me. Ah, Colonel Watson. Climb aboard.
You're admirably free and easy with my carriage, Holmes.
After you, Inspector.
Thank you, Doctor.
Well, for heaven's sake, Holmes, are you coming or not?
One moment, Colonel. Ned.
Sir?
Those few sheep in the paddock, who looks after them?
I do, sir.
Have you noticed anything amiss with them of late?
Well, sir, it's not of much account.
Now, go on.
But three of them has gone lame, sir.
A long shot, Watson. A very long shot. Thank you, Ned.
Sir.
Have you finished? May we depart?
Gregory, let me recommend to your attention this singular epidemic among the sheep.
You really consider that to be important?
Exceedingly so.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. Is there any other point you wish to draw to my attention?
A curious incident of the dog in the nighttime.
But the dog did nothing in the nighttime.
That was a curious incident. Drive on. Holmes, this is ridiculous.
Surely not.
You've told me all the rest. Why not the final detail?
My dear chap, I thought you'd enjoy the chance to work it out for yourself.
Come with me, and all shall be made clear.
Out you come, boy. Easy, boy. Easy.
Good day to you.
Mr. Holmes,
sir. You remember my associate, Dr. Watson.
Sir?
Mr. Brown.
Any problems?
None, sir. Everything's to hand, just as you ordered.
Ah, pleased to hear it. Ah, this seems to be a splendid beast. Your expert opinion, Watson.
I take it this is Desborough. Magnificent.
You wouldn't say that he's been ill-treated or deprived in any way?
Ill-treated? I've rarely seen a finer-looking animal. But why should you think he...
Brown, Colonel Ross will be joining us here shortly.
You haven't told him.
He knows nothing.
I swear to you, my first thought was to do what was right. God's truth.
So I saw. But then the devil came into you when you thought of how much money could be made. Watson, Brown claims to be a reformed man. Mm. Your testimony would appear to support him.
I'm not sure that I'd be willing to pledge his good behavior in the future.
Well, we shall just have to see. Silas Brown, you've kept your end of the bargain, so I shall keep mine. Be off with you. And be sure that our paths never cross again.
God save you, sir. You too, Doctor. You can rely on me.
I doubt it.
There they are. Prepare yourself for the final act, Doctor.
I don't think Colonel Ross will share your amusement.
Perhaps not.
Good day to you, Colonel. Inspector Gregory.
Mr. Holmes. Doctor.
Mr. Holmes, I have seen nothing of my horse. At your insistence...
That's my suggestion.
I have allowed Silver Blaze's name to stand and my jockey to be weighed. Do you realize what penalties I shall face when the horse doesn't appear? By God, I'll sue you for every penny you possess.
Tell me, Colonel, what do you know Silver Blaze when you saw him?
I, sir, have been on the turf for 20 years, and never have I been asked such a damn fool question. Know my own horse, indeed. Sir, your services are dispensed with. This nonsense has gone on quite long enough.
I agree. Let us have no more nonsense. You engaged me to find Silver Blaze. I have done so.
What? Then where the devil is he?
Before you.
Good God, man, that's not my horse. That beast hasn't a white hair on his body.
Watson, be so good as to pass me that bucket.
Yes, certainly.
Mr. Holmes, what's the meaning of this?
Oh, bear with him. Inspector, I think I can see where this is all leading.
Well done, Watson.
Well, I'm damned if I can.
Observe closely, gentlemen. This bucket contains spirits of wine. An excellent and versatile liquid. Easy boy, easy boy. Ideally suited for the removal of nearly all types of... hold his head steady, Watson. Mm. Nearly all types of... Ha! Paint and dye!
Well, I'm damned.
Bravo, Holmes.
Wonderful.
Mr. Holmes.
Colonel.
You take my breath away.
Well, did you enjoy a bit of fun at the Colonel's expense?
Yes, I did. And don't try to tell me he didn't deserve it.
Did I say anything of the sort? Mm. I still think you might have told me, though. How did you know?
Oh, you remember that muddy hollow near to Capleton?
Mm-hmm.
While you were off examining your broken bushes, I found clear traces of a man's footsteps. He saw the horse wandering loose, ran up to it and led it away. It had to be Brown, and one look at his boots confirmed it. I've more or less decided that he had it anyway. The horse is a gregarious creature. Its instinct is always to seek out its own kind.
Really?
Watson, before the others join us, a favour.
Yeah, go on.
When you write this one up, be sure to do full justice to that scene.
Mr. Holmes, you take my breath away.
Oh, so my writing does have some value, then.
Have I ever doubted it?
Ah, Colonel, congratulations.
Mr. Holmes, I owe you 1,000 apologies for having doubted your ability.
Colonel, I accept your apologies. Did you enjoy the race, Inspector?
I did, sir. Very rewarding.
How about you, Ned?
Wonderful, Doctor. It's great to see him again. Thank you, Mr. Holmes.
My pleasure.
Now then, lad, get a blanket on that horse, and then you can cut along and enjoy yourself.
Well, thank you, sir. Come on, Blaze.
Good lad, that. Potential. Back here by 5, mind.
Sir?
Mr. Holmes, you've done me a great service by recovering my horse. You would do me a greater still if you could lay your hands on the murderer of John Straker.
I have done so.
You've got him.
Who is he? Where is he?
You had all the threads in your hand, Inspector. You failed only to tie them together. And this was a case where the art of the reasoner lay in sifting the fine details rather than uncovering new evidence. Details such as the drug used on the stable lad.
Powdered opium. But why was that significant?
Because it's by no means tasteless. In most dishes, it would be immediately detectable.
But the supper that night was curried mutton, as the poisoner must have known it was going to be. That one point alone totally eliminated Fitzroy Simpson. Then there was the question of the dog. I pointed that out to you.
I thought you were talking nonsense. The dog that did nothing.
The dog that did not bark. No one reported hearing any disturbance that night. The dog didn't bark, so...
So whoever took the horse was someone the dog knew well.
Exactly.
Mr. Holmes, I do not like where this is leading.
Nonetheless, Colonel, it is the truth. John Straker himself was at the center of the crime. He was a man wholly unworthy of your trust. On the night of the murder, Straker waited until he knew that Ned would be unconscious. Then he unlocked the stables with his own key and led Silver Blaze out into the moor. On the way, he found Simpson's muffler lost in its owner's earlier flight and picked it up, probably thinking he could use it to secure the horse. He hung his coat on a tree to give himself more freedom of movement, led the horse into a hollow out of sight and earshot of the buildings, and lit the stub of a candle so he could see to carry out his plan.
But what plan? What was all this for?
Remember the knife found in the dead man's hand? A surgical instrument. Very fine and delicate.
It was to be used for a most delicate operation that night. Such a knife could be inserted subcutaneously, leaving absolutely no trace, and used to make the merest nick on the tendons of the horse's leg.
The villain, the damned scoundrel. The poor horse would be no more than slightly lamed. His losing today will be put down to a muscle strain or something equally minor.
But never to foul play. Something else I pointed out. Straker knew he would only have one chance. He couldn't risk this tendon nicking going wrong. You recall my long shot.
Oh, the sheep. The lame sheep. By God, he'd been practicing.
Exactly. Well done, Inspector.
But why? Why did he want to ruin me?
He didn't, Colonel. Not directly.
This is the final loose thread. A 37-pound walking outfit from Madame Lazurier of Bond Street. Mrs. Straker's explanation of Mr. William Derbyshire did not convince me. Men do not carry other people's bills about in their pockets, and you observed her manner when I mentioned the name.
Well, I put it down to her grief.
No, it is more than that. I believe that she had already divined the truth about her husband and Mr. Derbyshire, possibly some time ago. Women can be surprisingly resilient creatures.
What are you saying?
Straker and Derbyshire were one and the same. He was leading a double life.
One involving another woman.
As you told us yourself, Colonel, of his frequent trips to London.
Oh, God.
Madame Lesurier recognized Mr. Derbyshire at once from our photograph of Straker. An excellent customer whose dashing wife has a strong partiality for extremely expensive dresses.
I've no doubt that this woman led Straker head over heels into debt and straight into the welcoming arms of the moneylenders.
I take it we must assume he had bets laid against Silver Blaze.
Bets that must certainly have been placed with even more borrowed cash. It was a desperate scheme.
The fool. Why couldn't he have come to me? I've lost the best trainer I ever had.
But the murderer, Mr. Holmes... Who is the murderer? Straker may have been a villain, but murder cannot go unpunished.
You ask me, the fellow did me a favor. Getting to Straker before he had a chance to injure my horse. I'd give him a medal.
Colonel Ross, we're talking about a crime of the utmost seriousness. Now, Mr. Holmes, it can only have been another member of the Colonel's staff. But who? One of the lads? Surely not the maid.
No, not the maid. The murderer of John Straker is here now.
Here? Where?
In my company at the present moment.
Mr. Holmes, that is either a very bad joke or an insult.
Not you, Colonel. The murderer is standing just over there.
Good God. The horse.
The horse. They were there together in the darkness, and he undoubtedly sensed Draker's own tension and fear. Perhaps it was the sudden glare of the match, or that strange instinct that animals have when danger is near, whatever the cause. As Straker bent to his miserable task, Silver Blaze lashed out and killed him with a single blow.
Wonderful. Wonderful. You might have been there.
It was a privilege to listen to that, Mr. Holmes.
Thank you.
Wait. You've explained all but one thing.
What's that, Colonel?
Where exactly was the horse?
Ah, it bolted and was found wandering on the moor and cared for by one of your neighbours. We must have an amnesty in that direction, I think.
Very well. What matters is that Silver Blaze is home once more.
And as for delivering the murderer to justice... Well... No court in the land would declare him guilty. The verdict must clearly be self-defense.
In Silver Blaze, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Merrison and Dr. Watson by Michael Williams, with Jack May as Colonel Ross. Inspector Gregory was played by Terence Edmund, John Straker by Fraser Carr, Mrs. Straker by Susan Sheridan, Silas Brown by Brett Usher, Fitzroy Simpson by Nigel Carrington, Ned by Mark Straker, and Edith by Petra Markham. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The violinist was Leonard Friedman. Silver Blaze was dramatized for radio by Bert Cools and directed by Patrick Rayner.
My dear Watson, I write these few lines through the courtesy of Professor Moriarty, who awaits my convenience for the final discussion of those questions which lie between us. I am pleased to think that I shall be able to free society from any further effects of his presence, though I fear that it's at a cost which will give pain to my friends, and especially, my dear Watson, to you. Pray give my greetings to Mrs. Watson and believe me to be, my dear fellow,
Very sincerely yours, Sherlock Holmes.
Holmes.
Oh, Watson!
Holmes?
Dr. Watson! Holmes! Dr. Watson!
What?
Dr. Watson. Dr. Watson, are you awake?
Nurse. Oh, my God. How could I have fallen asleep?
It's perfectly understandable. You're exhausted.
Has there been any change?
Dr. Pendle thinks you should go in.
Very well. Thank you, nurse.
Doctor, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
The Empty House by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatized for radio by Bert Cools. With Clive Merrison as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Frederick Treves as Colonel Moran, Donald Gee as Inspector Lestrade, and Michael Pennington as Professor James Moriarty. The Empty House.
Mary, can you hear me?
Dr. Pendle?
No, my love, it's me. It's John.
John?
Yes, Mary. I'm here.
Oh, John. Are you all right?
I'm fine. And soon... soon you will be too.
I don't think so.
My dear.
That's what you said to me then.
When?
In Mr. Sholto's garden. I was frightened, and you took my hand. John.
I'm here.
My hand was warmer then, wasn't it?
It's all right, my love. Everything's all right.
Oh, my poor John. First, Mr. Holmes. And now me.
Mary.
Everyone you love. Hardly seems fair. I'm so sorry.
Be taken so young. There's no justice in the world, Doctor.
No, Mrs. Hudson. No justice. It was good of you to come.
A sad reason for us to meet again, though.
Indeed. I should have called to see you. How have you been?
Well, I can't pretend the time hasn't hung heavy. They say the years pass faster as you get older, but these last three have seemed more like 30.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Look at me, keeping you from talking to everyone else who came. Off you go now.
Very well. Thank you again.
Doctor. And please remember you're always welcome at Baker Street.
You're very kind, Mrs. Hudson, but... well...
Too many memories.
I'm afraid so. Too many memories.
I hear the wedding's off. that right, Adair?
Yeah, that's right.
She walked out on him. Sensible figure.
She did nothing of the sort, as you very well know.
Oh, so you walked out on her, did you, lad?
Sensible chap.
It was a mutual decision.
A ridiculous idea in the first place. Damn fool notion. Stick to your own kind, young Adair.
I take it your father's delighted.
Well, yes.
Ah, but what did her father think? Goodbye to the Maynooth fortune.
He wasn't very pleased.
Oh, no. Well, that's putting it mildly from what I heard. Is it true he came at you with a 12-ball, Ronald?
Can we please get on with the game?
Of course, Sir John. I think we're down, Moran.
Damn right you are.
And about time. You two were coming close to having us on the streets.
Deal the damn cards.
Thank you,
sir.
Good health to you.
You are, Stamford?
Thanks, old man. Cheers. So, how are you?
Oh, I've been better.
Yes, of all the damn things to happen.
What's the point of it all, Stamford?
Watson.
I mean, look at us. Doctors, for God's sake. Well, what good do we actually do? What difference can we make?
We can make a difference. You have to hold on to that. Sometimes we really can.
Not where it matters. You know what someone said to me at her funeral? There's no justice in the world. Well, I'll drink to that. Barman?
Good Lord, man, I swear you keep him up your sleeve.
Ah-ha! Discovered!
Damn it, Adair, you've the luck of the devil.
Luck, Sir John, it was skill, pure skill. Mm.
Not to mention the brilliance of his partner, eh, Ronald?
Not to mention the brilliance of my partner.
Come on, John, let's take him on again.
Yes, what do you say, Johnny? Another hand?
No, Moran, that's my lot for tonight.
But it's early still.
What's the matter with you, Adair, you deaf? Now, what's the damage?
Well, let's see.
Here, I've been keeping a note. There you are, Sir John.
Good God.
You know, what you should be doing is thinking about the future.
The future? Stamford, just at the moment, I can't see any future.
You need something to occupy yourself. Why don't you get back to the old writing? Give us some more of those stories of yours.
Ah, romantic rubbish.
What?
That's what Holmes always called them. Like putting an elopement into the third proposition of Euclid.
Damn good thing, too. Have you ever read Euclid? That's more like it. Go on, why don't you?
No, I don't think so.
Pity. The old Strand's not been the same since you packed it in.
Thank you, Stamford. I appreciate that.
Oh, I mean it. The way you wrote about those criminals really made it live.
Well, I had some marvellous material to work with. Holmes would only ever take a case if it was out of the ordinary. Mm-hmm. There's not been too much of that sort lately.
Ah, so you do still follow these things?
Not really, no, not anymore. It's hard to shake off something like that.
Well, there you are. Take it up again. Solve a few crimes.
Stamford.
No, I mean it. What's that line? You know my methods.
Employ them. I wouldn't have the arrogance.
Come on. You need a name in life.
Doctor's orders?
Yes, actually. Doctor's orders. Now all you need is the right case.
Ronald! Ronald, are you in there?
He hasn't come out all evening, my lady.
Ronald, why are you being so rude? Unlock this door at once. Ronald? Melville.
My lady. My God.
What's wrong?
No, my lady, stay there.
Stand aside, ma'am. Melville.
My lady.
I don't want any unseemly gossip in the lane. Please ensure that you send someone discreet for the police.
The Honourable Ronald Adair, second son of the Earl of Maynooth, Governor of Queensland. Fashionable Park Lane address, known in the best society, member of all the right clubs.
And missing most of his head.
Thank you, Constable, I do have eyes. Is the doctor here yet?
No, Inspector.
Well, why the devil not?
I don't know, sir. Shall I try to find out?
What a good idea. Why don't you?
I tell you, he did himself in. Stands to reason.
Oh, yes. Then where's the gun?
They're in the room, of course. They just haven't found it yet. They will. You wait. We'll hang about here for a couple of months.
Very amusing. Now, move along. There's nothing to see here. Unless any of you lot have clapped eyes on a police surgeon.
Can't even find their own people.
Come on, you heard me. Nothing to see. Move along. You too, if you please, sir. Unless you've business in the building.
Oh, well, no, Constable, not as such.
Then I'm sorry, but I must ask you to clear the area. You understand, sir?
Yes, 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 of course.
Dr. Watson.
Ah, Lestrade, good morning.
It's all right, Sacker. This gentleman's a friend of mine. Good morning to you, Doctor. How are you?
I'm in reasonable health, thank you, Lestrade.
Good, good. What brings you here?
I'm afraid it's the same thing that brought those others. Sheer curiosity.
You saw it in the papers, I suppose.
Oh, yes.
I thought it would get out. The loyalty of servants, eh? How much have they got?
Enough to be intriguing. Locked room, no weapon, no motive. Can you tell me any more?
Well, actually, Doctor, look, I wonder if you'd mind doing me a favour.
Good God.
Quiet.
Has he been moved at all?
Not an inch.
The entrance wound is just above the right eye. The exit... Have you found the bullet?
Here.
Yes, I thought so. Soft nose revolver bullet. Filthy things. They mushroom out when they hit. Where was it?
In the wooden panelling. Just there.
So, he was sitting at his desk.
Or standing by it.
Yeah. He'd been working on these papers, presumably. May I?
Be my guest.
Thank you. Hardy, Murray, Jenkinson, St. Simon, and a list of figures. Any idea what it's all about?
Not yet. Can you tell when he died?
Not accurately. 9 or 10 hours ago, possibly.
He got in from his club just before 10 and came straight up here. His mother had the door broken in at 11:30. I was hoping you could pin down the time of death a bit more precisely.
I'm afraid not. Had there been any callers? Did he see anyone?
No to both questions. According to the butler, he locked this door behind him and never came out.
There's talk of suicide.
Then where's the weapon? Not a chance. I do hate a messy murder, especially when it's impossible.
The door to the room was locked on the inside, and although the window was open a fraction, there were no signs that anyone had entered or left by that way. It's at least 20 feet above the road, and there's a flower bed directly below. It wasn't disturbed at all.
Could the shot have been fired from outside the house, perhaps from the park opposite?
No, sir. A revolver's not accurate enough over that sort of distance. And in any case, my men found several people who were in or near the area at the time in question. None of them heard a shot.
I've known him for years. He's a conventional enough young chap. Quiet, you know, unemotional. Fond of cards, of course, but there's nothing wrong with that. He played a hell of a game, too. I shall miss him.
Yes, he was a good friend. We were card partners, have been for some time. Ronald was a first-rate sort, as honest as the day's long. Not an enemy in the world.
Yes, I played against young Adair often enough.
With what result, Sir John?
The cards usually fell fairly equally, I'd say.
I have here a statement given to the police by another member of the Bagatelle Club. He asserts that on the day of Adair's death, there was an altercation between yourself and the deceased.
Certainly not.
On the subject of his frequent substantial wins against you and your partner.
Nonsense! The man's mistaken or lying.
That's right, sir. He was engaged to my Edith for nigh on 6 months.
And when the wedding was called off, were you disappointed?
Sir?
Oh, for heaven's sake, Woodley, you just lost one of the wealthiest young bachelors in the country as a son-in-law. Were you angry?
I don't know who's been talking to you, sir, but there's not a word of truth in it.
Oh, not a word of truth in what, exactly?
Nothing, sir. Nothing.
In the absence of any further evidence, this court records a verdict of willful murder by person or persons unknown.
Inspector! Any comment on the coroner?
Are you any closer to catching the murderer?
An official statement will be issued in due
course. Have you found the motive?
Is it true that Inspector Gregson's been called in to assist you?
Gentlemen, please, let us pass.
Have you any theories, Dr. Watson?
I'm sorry, I can't make any comment.
How do you think Mr. Holmes would have investigated this case, sir?
Please, let me
stand
through.
Aside
just
there.
Just one statement for the standard, gentlemen.
Please, get out of the way. I'm sorry.
Damn you.
Let me help.
Rather leave them.
Well, they're not damaged, are they?
These books are valuable.
Yeah, well, I do
apologize.
Charming.
Do you know? I've seen him somewhere before.
Oh, yes.
Now, where on earth? I've got it. He was in Park Lane the other morning when I went back for another look at the house.
When exactly?
The second day after the murder. Your constable moved him on.
Probably just another gawper. Do you think it's significant?
No, I don't suppose so. So, what's your next step, Inspector?
Oh, back to the routine. Question everyone again, that sort of thing. Not to mention trying to work out how the devil it was done.
Yes.
He would have loved this one, eh?
Yes, indeed.
Well, thank you again for all your help, Doctor.
Oh, don't mention it. Quite like old times again.
Yes. I must be off. Good day to you. Perhaps we'll see each other again soon.
Yes, perhaps we will. Goodbye, Lestrade.
You? What do you want?
Look at me.
I've got better things to look at.
Look at me.
Oh my God.
Yes, Jenny.
Beg pardon, sir, but there's someone wants to see you.
A patient?
I asked him, Doctor, but he wouldn't say.
Wouldn't say? Well, did he give you his card?
No, sir, but he said you knew him.
Show him into the consulting room, Jenny. I'll be there in a minute.
Yes, sir. Sir, I'm sorry.
It's all right, Jenny. You can go.
Thank you, Doctor.
Now, sir, why have you come here?
To apologise.
For what, pray?
I was gruff.
You're making too much of a trifle, sir. Now, if you'll excuse me.
My books mean a lot to me.
So I realise.
You should fill that gap in the bookcase. It's untidy.
What gap?
There.
Ah, I can see what you mean, but I hardly think it's...
How do you do, Watson? I trust I find you well.
My dear Watson, I owe you 1,000 apologies. I had no idea that you'd be so affected.
Holmes, is it really you? You're alive. How is it possible?
Wait. Are you sure you're fit to discuss things? I've given you a serious shock.
I'm all right.
Yes, perhaps it was an unnecessarily dramatic appearance.
I can hardly believe my eyes. To think that you of all men, should be standing in my study. Well, you're not a spirit anyhow.
No.
Well, oh, my dear chap, I'm overjoyed to see you. Sit down, sit down.
Oh, no, thank you, Doctor. No, I prefer to stand. This is no joke when a tall man has to take a foot of his height for hours on end.
But why? Why the disguise? No. First, for the love of heaven, tell me how you came alive out of that dreadful chasm.
Do you mind if I smoke a cigarette?
Holmes!
Well, perhaps it would be better if explanations waited until later.
Holmes, I want to know now!
Very well. Well, about that chasm. I had no serious difficulty getting out of it, for the very simple reason that I was never in it.
Never in it?
No, Watson. I never was in it. My note to you was absolutely genuine. I had no doubt that I'd come to the end of my career.
Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Mr. Moriarty.
You were, of course, expecting me.
Of course. I congratulate you on your escape.
Thank you. And I congratulate you on the operation. A piece of meticulous planning worthy almost of myself.
I'm flattered. You know, of course, that your organization is finished.
I anticipated as much.
And your infamous career along with it.
By no means. At the very least, I still have one crowning achievement to attain.
I believe I recently said something very similar.
I'm not in the least surprised. You will wish, no doubt, to pen some touching epistle to your companion, the worthy doctor. Pray do so.
You're most kind.
I wrote the note, which you later found.
And which I still have.
And then we walked along the pathway together. Myself and Moriarty.
I suppose it would be futile to try to persuade you to join me.
You suppose correctly.
A pity. Together, what triumphs we might have achieved. And I do so deplore the waste. So illogical. Goodbye, Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Baritsu, the Japanese system of wrestling. It's been useful to me more than once.
Good God. Holmes, the tracks. I saw them with my own eyes. Two sets of footprints went down the path. None came back.
Yes. The instant the professor disappeared, it struck me what an extraordinarily lucky chance fate had placed in my way.
Lucky?
Now, Moriarty wasn't the only man who'd sworn my death. There were at least three others, all of them dangerous. It occurred to me that if the world was convinced that I was dead, they would take liberties, these men.
Hmm?
Lay themselves open. So, I decided to die.
Good heavens.
Once I destroyed them, then I could announce that I was actually still in the land of the living.
And now you've done so. But no, that doesn't make sense. Why the disguise? Why the secrecy?
Two of the three men have been dealt with, and now the third, the deadliest of all. He's within my grasp at last.
Look, we're getting ahead of ourselves. If you didn't come back along that path, then how did you get away?
I read your picturesque account of the matter with great interest. You said that the cliff above the falls was sheer, but that wasn't literally true. There were a few small handholds. It wasn't a pleasant business, Watson. I'm not a fanciful person, but I give you my word that I seem to hear Moriarty's voice screaming up at me. I couldn't have made it to the very top, but some way up, there was a ledge. I was able to wait there and rest.
For how long? You don't mean to say you were there above me when I came back?
Yes, I was.
I watched you and your followers investigating my death in the most sympathetic and inefficient manner.
I didn't find the circumstances exactly conducive to efficiency.
No, perhaps not. Anyway, at last, when you'd all formed your inevitable and totally erroneous conclusions and departed for the hotel, I was left alone.
And you climbed down the cliff?
Exactly.
And went where?
To Florence, initially.
Florence?
With the certainty that no one in the world knew what had become of me.
No, indeed.
Save one.
What do you mean?
I did have one confidant. My brother Mycroft. I needed money. I needed information.
And you couldn't trust me?
My dear Watson, I owe you many apologies. Several times in the last 3 years I've taken up my pen to write to you.
Then what in the world stopped you?
Your regard for me.
I don't understand.
I was afraid it would lead you to betray my secret. Your account of my unhappy end was a vital factor in the whole plan. Would it have been as convincing if you'd known the truth?
What about after it was published?
Still too great a risk. For you as well as me. I can only ask your forgiveness.
You have it, of course.
Thank you, my friend. And now, I have a piece of work for both of us tonight. Hard and dangerous work. And if we bring it to a successful conclusion, it will justify a man's life on this planet. Will you come with me?
When you like. And where you like.
Yes, for 2 years and all.
Did you manage to get into Lhasa?
Yes, I did. Spent some time with the head lama. Fascinating doctor in Buddhism. Remarkable. An eternal quest for perfection. Life after life. There's death after death.
And when you left Tibet?
Oh, I passed through Persia, looked in at Mecca, visited Khartoum. Oh,
this is incredible.
You may have read about the explorations of a Norwegian named Sigurdsson.
Oh, yes, I believe I did. You knew him? You're not saying Sigurdsson was you.
Until he obligingly disappeared without trace, leaving me free to spend some time doing chemical research in the south of France.
What finally made you come back to London?
Two things. Firstly, the knowledge that someone's trying to set himself up in the late Professor Moriarty's shoes.
What? Do you mean rebuild his organization?
Yes.
This is the man you mentioned?
It is.
What was the second reason?
The fact that after months of caution, this man has finally made a slip, and now I have him. Come, Doctor.
Holmes, where are we?
Well, don't you know?
You seem to have led me through every mews and stable yard in London.
I see 3 years hasn't improved your tendency to exaggeration.
Or yours to sarcasm.
Touché. In here.
How long has this place been empty?
What's important is that it's empty now.
We should have brought a lantern.
No lights. Your eyes will adjust themselves in a moment.
Why are we here?
All in good time, Doctor. Can you see yet?
Yes, well enough.
Excellent. Follow me. Look down there. Now do you know where we are?
Well, surely that's Baker Street.
Yes. We're in Camden House, directly opposite our old quarters.
But why are we here?
Well, because it commands so excellent a view of that picturesque pile. Now, let's see if 3 years of absence have entirely taken away my power to surprise you. Look over at our old rooms.
But the blinds will be drawn. Good heavens.
I trust that age doth not wither nor custom stale my infinite variety.
It's marvellous. Yeah. What is it, some sort of cutout
shape? No. It's a bust in wax. Throws a more realistic shadow. It's by Monsieur Oscar Meunier of Grenoble. It really is rather like me, don't you think?
I'd be prepared to swear that it was you. But what does it mean? Surely it's as good as telling this man that you're still alive.
Ah, but he already knows. I sent him a message through one of his agents, Parker by name, a garrotter by trade. Remarkable performer on the Jew's harp.
Holmes, you're making this up.
Never, I swear it. Anyway, I've not been out of sight of one of his men ever since.
Which presumably was what you wanted.
Exactly. My next call was on the admirable Mrs. Hudson.
With no warning? You just walked up and rang the doorbell?
Yes, I'm afraid I did. And in answer to your next question, violent hysterics.
She didn't faint then.
She does have remarkable self-control for a woman.
Well, I hope you apologise to her.
Yeah, there were more important things to say. I made sure that my shadower was within earshot and negotiated an immediate lease on my old rooms.
You were lucky to find them unoccupied.
Yeah.
And so this man, this new Moriarty, knows exactly where to find you.
Or thinks he does.
And you're expecting him to make some sort of attack on you tonight?
He's a man of action. He won't delay. Before the night's out, I shall have been efficiently assassinated by a single shot from the street. I'm rather looking forward to it. We'll have a perfect view from here.
Suppose he gets away before we reach him.
No, no, he won't. He won't. Ah, oh, Watson. Ah, he's the most cunning and dangerous criminal in London, and he's after me tonight. And we are after him.
I never thought I'd see a night like this again. Holmes, it's wonderful.
Yes. Yes, it is, isn't it?
The shadow's moved.
Yes, of course it's moved. Am I such a farcical bungler that I should erect an obvious dummy and expect one of the sharpest men in Europe to be deceived by it?
You surely haven't got Mrs. House.
One change every 10 minutes. She crawls in below window level.
That's outrageous.
Oh, she enjoys that sort of thing.
Holmes.
Wait.
The street's empty.
Listen. He's coming in here. Tonight's surprises are not all one-sided. Your pistol. Ready. Excellent. Now into the shadows and not a sound.
I'm afraid your jubilation's a little premature.
You?
Thank you, Watson.
Oh, my pleasure. But who is it? I can't see a damn thing.
Let's summon some illumination.
Are you all right?
Yes, perfectly. Direct your attention to our friend there, would you?
Now, listen to me. I have a revolver trained on your head. Make no sudden moves, do you understand?
Ah, the lantern bearers.
Mr. Holmes!
Good evening, Lestrade.
I could hardly believe it when I got your message. It's good to see you back in London, sir.
Well, you needed a little unofficial help. 3 undetected murders in 1 year won't do, Lestrade. Ah, but you handle the Molesey case with less than your usual. That is to say, you handled it fairly well.
Holmes, if you don't mind.
My dear fellow, a little light here, if you please. Constable.
Sir.
Thank you. Ah, yes. Journey's end in lovers' meetings, as the old play says. Gentlemen, let me introduce you to Colonel Sebastian Moran.
Good God above.
Once of Her Majesty's Indian Army and the best heavy game shot that our Eastern Empire has ever produced.
You fiend! You cunning fiend!
I'm surprised that my simple trick could deceive so experienced a hunter. How many times have you tied a young goat under a tree and waited above it with your rifle for the bait to bring up your tiger? Well, this empty house is my tree, and you are my tiger. The parallel is exact.
You, sir, inspector, or whatever you are, you may or may not have cause for arresting me, but there's no reason why I should submit to the jibes of this person. If I'm in the hands of the law, let things be done in a legal way.
Well, that's reasonable enough. Anything more to say, Mr. Holmes, before we go?
This is a fascinating weapon.
I knew von Herder, the blind German mechanic who made it to the order of the late Professor Moriarty. I've no doubt it was always intended for the professor's trusted chief of staff. Isn't that so, Colonel?
You devil!
That's quite enough of that. You're not in India now. Constable, take him downstairs.
Inspector?
One moment. Holmes?
Moran.
You seem to know a good deal about me. Remember that in some parts of the world, too much knowledge is believed to be a dangerous thing.
Come on, you.
And in others, the pursuit of truth is worship.